Hello, my name is Todd Lloyd, and I'll be interviewing Chris Coben on his paper titled Worlds Colliding, Cultural, Political, and Economic Effects of President Richard Nixon's 1972 Visit to China. How are you doing, Chris?
Hello, Todd. I am doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for coming on here. So, Chris, would you like to start off by briefly just kind of explaining what you wrote your paper on?
So what I wrote my paper on is, so in 1972, President Richard Nixon, he pretty much broke all the rules of American foreign policy at the time and decided to spontaneously and dramatically announce to America and the world that he was going to go to China and visit Chairman Mao. And at the time, like the controversy surrounding this was in no way understated. America was deeply embroiled in the Cold War, and Americans feared every day that they were going to get nuked. It was just going to be the last day of their life. So, I mean, when their hardcore anti-communist, rock-solid anti-communist credentials, he made an entire political career out of hunting down communists wherever he saw them, when he announced to America and to the world that he was going to make the leap and go to China, everybody was shocked. And so what my paper is about, it is about how Nixon going to China shaped the dynamic and pretty much cracked a lot of barriers in the Cold War, which was really stale at the time. And I'm also talking about how Nixon going to China influenced American public opinion on the Chinese and Chinese public opinion on Americans, because at the time it was all-time low. Both, everybody hated each other. Americans hated Chinese, Chinese hated Americans. It's just the way it was. Two countries had been at odds for a couple of decades at that point. And also, I'm also talking about in this paper the economic effects that happened after Richard Nixon's 1972 visit to China.
All right, thank you for that. So I guess to start off, I'm going to ask, why did Nixon originally meet with China here? Was it important that he was to do this and to have this meeting take place?
All right, so it was totally pretty much spontaneous when he announced to Americans and like the world stage that he was gonna go, but like seven or nine months prior, he had sent his advisor Henry Kissinger over to China, and he had traveled to Peking, and he had met with Zhou Enlai, who was pretty much at the time China's president. And like when he first went on that first diplomatic visit, and it was secret, he went through a back channel in Pakistan, because Richard Nixon believed that if he were to let the State Department know of his new radically different foreign policy initiatives, they'd probably expose him, make public his plans for like a Sino-American rapprochement, and from there they'd get hampered. Somebody might leak that information to the public, and then it would be a total failure. It would be scandalous. So he kept it really covert through that Pakistani back channel. And, on that first visit, though, Kissinger was not well received. In the hotel that he stayed at, the Chinese made sure to put a supply of pamphlets condemning the United States as imperialist aggressors in his hotel room. However, it worked out, and they came up to the conclusion that President Nixon was going to travel to China and meet with Chairman Mao in February of 1972.
All right. So how did the Sino-American rapprochement economically benefit China?
Well, so after the rapprochement, a few years after, actually, past Nixon's presidency, he was impeached and resigned in 1974 after Watergate, and then in 1978, the U.S. and China pretty much signed their first like real, like, peace accords. And in 79, diplomatic relations, January 1st, 79, diplomatic relations were normalized. And from there, I mean, that's history. I mean, China's GDP at the time, when Nixon first went to China, they were struggling. They were in the middle of the Cultural Revolution. Many people had been dying, and life was not good for your average Chinese citizen. They were far more concerned with living day to day than the broader foreign policy initiatives of their government. However, like after those peace accords were signed, and the U.S. and China signed their first trade agreement, the trade between the two nations began booming. I mean, China has a population of, at the time, about 1 billion people that were willing and ready to work for pennies, and they had no like labor laws and environmental protection laws that you see in America, that American businesses find as hampering to their bottom lines. And so it was a big push for American corporations to get in there and exploit that new massive market and labor supply to get these cheap goods created. And thing is, those came at the expense of, I mean, today, 60,000 factories in the U.S. have been closed since that agreement was reached. And right now, in 2018, it came out to be since 2001, 2.7 million Americans in the manufacturing sector lost their jobs. However, that's just the way free markets roll. And that's not an argument for whether or not it is good or bad. That's just an argument just saying that's the way it is.
So, Chris, would you say that, like, following the meeting between the two, how did the each nation's populace, how did they take it? Like, what was their opinion on it? Did their outlooks on one another change, or was there any? How did they take it? How did the population take it?
Effects were a lot more largely felt on the American side because, I mean, in America versus China, I mean, Americans, like, everybody in America, pretty much at the time, they had like, I think like the ratings were like 50 million. Everybody watched like the entire week. News companies had like done the proper planning beforehand. They had worked with the Chinese government and they installed satellite facilities. So this was like one of the first big instances of people watching in unison, like a live TV and coverage, like unprecedented. And like when Americans like were watching their president like in China, go around the country looking at all like the grand sights in Mao's country. They went to Great Wall, they went to cities, they went through the countryside. I mean, people were astounded by all that. And I mean, they would watch Nixon like through the food he ate. Interesting enough, in the wake and during his visit, a Chinese food restaurant in America saw a huge boom as people wanted to eat exactly what they watched their president eat on TV.
So would you say that Nixon was leading by example and showing that, you know, mm-hmm. Chinese mm-hmm. culture is okay and that?
Yeah, and that did spawn like a big like not a revolution, just short of a revolution on how people thought about China. It was like it was no longer
new insight.
Yeah, it was no longer like they are enemy, horrible people. These are the red menace, the communist red threat. Like, I mean, people kind of like lessen those kind of like raucous ideas, and gained like a more admiration. It was like once again more commonplace to have like admiration for Chinese culture and food, everything.
He showed that it was okay to mm-hmm. admire, you know, a different culture.
Exactly. And on the other side, thing is, in Chairman Mao's country, in the People's Republic of China. Ever since 1949, when Chiang Kai-shek, he lost out in the Chinese Civil War, and he was defeated, and he was expelled to Taiwan. And ever since then, like, the Chinese population had been taught that Americans are enemies, they are imperialist aggressors. The Chinese population in large blamed America for supporting Chiang Kai-shek. They blamed America for aggressing into North Vietnam during the Vietnam War, and they also blamed America for aggressing again into They blamed them for aggressing into North Korea during the Korean War,
right?
And then they blamed him for aggressing into North Vietnam just Vietnam in general during the Vietnam War. And so the Chinese population, they in general were not fond of America. So, I mean, after that, they were a lot more acceptable. And actually, Richard Nixon, he's still a celebrity in China. Like the Chinese people, they love him because they remember Nixon as a man that opened up their country to the rest of the world, put their country on the global stage.
Right. Well, that's very interesting, Chris. I appreciate that. I will leave you with one more question. So what made this this meeting, this event, largely forgotten? So, yeah, what made this largely forgotten meeting that occurred over 50 years ago so important today to be talked about?
What made this meeting so important enough to be talked about is because how relevant China is to our economy, our nation, our world today, how large China's gotten compared to what it was 50 years ago, one of the weakest places. Now it is immensely more powerful, and I mean, just look at your phone. I mean, it's probably from China.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate you coming on here. Thank you.
Thank you.